Well, last week, Bill Resnick and Carrie Cantrell talked about Carrie's experience from birth as an intersex person, how after being deceived for many years and undergoing a lot of pain, she discovered the truth about herself and found commitment and peace in social activism. Today, they will talk about how intersex action and work by other sexual minorities changes not only popular ideas about sexual morality, but can help to build a society based on mutuality instead of exploitation.
Hi, Carrie Cantrell. Welcome back.
Thank you, Bill.
KBOO.
Thank you.
We talked before about your experience in life, which was characteristic of millions of people and intersex people, and other sexual minorities who also lived a life of shame and hiding and confusion. People are organizing. You are now the coordinator organizer, NWIAL, the Northwest Intersex Action League. You're organizing people, basically,
yeah.
And there's a national organization. We're going to talk today about why you're organizing, what your goals are, but also I think we want to talk about today in the second half of this interview the tremendous significance of sexuality and sexual morality and rules and discipline in creating authority structures and class structures and really subordinating and forcing people into shame and a sense of deficiency, which really is one of the underlying strengths of hierarchical authority structures, is making people feel deficient.
Especially consumerist hierarchical authority structures, like the one we exist under.
Yes, and also it makes a lot of money for some people.
If they make you think you're deficient at something, they can always convince you to buy something.
Yes, that's...
Surgeries, maybe medicines, maybe they just want you to buy some makeup or some clothes that reinforce your gender identity.
In fact, look normal and attractive and be able to get a job. If you don't present as sort of normal, then employers just won't take you. And so it's life itself as requires all of this hiding and shame. And it gives power to the people over you. So, Carrie, let's talk about the NWIL. You're organizing people. Why and for what?
Why and for what reason? Oh, goodness. All right. So the Northwest Intersex Action League. The Northwest Intersex Action League was basically born out of a social justice project that I began working on immediately after meeting a conference of intersex people. That was the summer of 2015, I attended a national support group conference for androgen insensitivity and different sex development support group. And that, it sort of changed my life. Touching community, reflecting my experiences with people who had been through a similar journey, really, really, really changed my life.
It must have been just an epiphany, powerful
service. Absolutely. As far as consciousness and awareness of my body and my experience, I always knew something was wrong. You know, I covered my experience, manifested a lot of addictions and a lot of escapist attitudes and behaviors because I was always constantly trying to run from some pain. I had no language to describe who I was or what I had gone through. So I did the best I could with substances and travel and all sorts of stuff. But I finally, just like when you pull a thread from a sweater, the whole sweater becomes unraveled. And eventually it just got to be a breaking point. I had a summer off 1 year, 2 years ago in 2015, and went to support group. It handed me language to describe myself. It handed me community members who could be there for me and support my experiences because they had gone through the same thing. It handed me emotional support for people who had showed up to that community as allies and were ready and willing to take on a heavier caseload as allies and help us out. And not only that, but it handed me a community of people who just gave me strength every single day. So it changed my life. It changed my life, and I wanted to be able to empower other people close to me, wherever I was, in the exact same way. So that's the birth of the Northwest Intersex Action League. And we're here in Portland, and so it takes on a very Portland flavor. We want to stress diversity as much as possible. We want to stress inclusion as much as possible. Unfortunately, the intersex movement in this country so far has been coming from a very heteronormative, a white perspective, people who have access to a tiered insurance system, a healthcare system, people who have access to time off in order to attend conferences are mainly the benefits and recipients of this movement so far.
There are many intersex people who just don't want to be identified as different, who have made lives fairly successfully, I suspect, in bourgeois society. As you pointed out, they tell people lies, saying they had an early infection or they had a hormonal problem and they had all the surgery, and they can present mostly as female.
Well, okay. So, yeah, there are some folks like that. And, you know, honestly, I was like that. Well, and I was 26 years old before I came out as an intersex person. And I spun that narrative quite frequently. I was a female. I had a reproductive disorder. I told my sexual partners that I had this problem and that problem and that I was defective. And I did my best to protect that ego, to protect that image, which had been sold to me.
Forced upon you,
forced
really.
Upon me, yeah. Well, yeah. Forced upon me. Well, I basically had been purchased into that system through insurance, through my parents' decisions, my doctor's decisions, and the profits they made and all that stuff. I basically had been purchased as a human body. Just like materials are purchased in a factory and manufactured, you get a label stuck on you right when you're all done being manufactured, and then off you go out into society. And that's kind of what happened to me, too. But touching an intersex community changed my life. It handed me new language. It was about this time I began identifying not as female anymore, but as an intersex person. That's the truth of my experience. I'm an intersex person. I was not born female. I don't even have XX chromosomes. I was not born with a fully developed vagina. I wasn't born with any ovaries. I wasn't born with the capability to develop and create life. So I think the typical definitions of female don't apply to me. And I started thinking about that over the next 2 years. And my experiences with the Northwest Intersex Action League, getting that off the ground, creating allies with different communities here in Portland, really showed me what kind of diversity are in Portland. Thank you so much, Portland, for showing me what kind of diversity this humanity has to offer. With that realization and the realization of my own truth as an intersex person, I've come to the conclusion that gender is 100% made up. Every human being deserves rights and respect based on their body and who they are at birth. And as far as gender expression, I think it's superficial at best we can describe gender, because it's something that you can apply and take off. It's something that you can manipulate extremely easily with makeup and clothes and surgeries and chemicals, or it's something that you can sort of detransition from as well.
Yeah, and you can also shape your own emotionality to fit your gender and to be able to fit in, and in fact, lead a successful emotional life, actually, after you've shaped yourself. People do shape themselves especially in adolescence. Uh-huh. They take on characteristics and then they feel as if they were born that way. In fact, my sense is that a lot of it is sort of luck and the relationships we have, the way we think and feel, the people we talk to, and we create a sort of sexual emotional being out of ourselves. And
I think it really comes down to context. I mentioned in the last interview we did my experience with hormonal interventions. And this is a great analogy for the whole transition and gender identification process as well. When it's forced on you, it's a completely different experience. You know what I mean? And when it's something that you, as you just mentioned, are able to self-determine and able to express freely and have that identity supported, it's a completely different experience. Who can say, except for you, whether or not that's the truest, most authentic manifestation of what you're, of what you are, who you are? But that's all it is. That's all everybody wants, is to be unconditionally accepted. And so I think it's a wonderful thing to see as much expression as we do these days, and as much transition as we do as well, and fluctuation between expressions. And our culture is becoming stronger and more elastic at accepting unconditionally people's expressions. And that's kind of worrisome for people who want to make money off of rigid expressions of humanity. And so you see policies that really try and inhibit the movements and expressions of transgendered folk, of intersex people, of really, like you, as you mentioned, any other minority that threatens a heteronormative white power base.
I'm talking to Carrie Cantrell. We're talking about intersex people and organizing, and Carrie is the mother, in some ways, founder of the Northwest Intersex Action League. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of people who are coming to Carrie and the League and around the country in similar sorts of organizations and the national organization to not just challenge the suppression of intersexuality and the vicious, horrible things that have been done to people over centuries, but to also to shape a sort of new morality and work with other sexual minorities and, in fact, social justice groups in
Absolutely.
General to change things. It seems to me, Carrie, that what you're doing is really constructing a new morality of sexuality. It's true that, I mean, as you pointed out, we now should have to honor people's expressions and how they express. But there's some things we don't honor, which is dishonesty. I mean, there's a morality of sexuality developing out of this challenge to this primitive sexual morality that's so constricting. Only in marriage, for example. That
right.
was a ridiculous one. And sexuality is so constrained. Only some positions. No oral sex, of course.
Right.
I mean, all of this stuff into the 20th century, the
right.
late 20th century, it was punishable by law.
Oh, yeah.
They would go into bedrooms and put people in jail
mm-hmm.
for having sexuality that was somewhat different. And those cases were notorious. And they were covered in the press. And people were actually...
Well, here's the
influenced
thing.
By all that primitive stuff.
It is very primitive, actually. You look at where these moralities came from, and I'll preface this next statement with, I grew up on farms in the country in rural settings in North Carolina. And you look at these primitive constructions of morality, and you wonder, what are they here for? And you start making analogies, and you see that these moralities, these rules that society creates and enforces through various means like social stigmatization, jailing, shaming, et cetera, social bullying, basically, you see that they're reinforced the same way that fence walls are reinforced on farms, right? You look at the human didactic system, males and females is the binary. This is a constructed world that we've been placed in because of the social conditioning we've all experienced as a human collective. And you see that for whatever reason, thousands of years ago, somebody thought it was their purview and their entitlement to make sure that people were reproducing. We've all read the Bible. We've all heard about conservative views on procreation. And as you just mentioned, there's this incredibly moral-based sort of objection to people having sex for pleasure. It's meant to be only reproductive. And so that's why you come up with all these rules. And it's about subjugating people for the sake of reproduction. To me, that makes me feel like I'm a farmed animal. And that's ridiculous. That's oppressive for everybody when human beings are treated like farm animals.
But there's another morality that's emerging, it seems to me, out of
Absolutely.
Your organization and many others. It's not as if every expression is good. I mean, there's a lot of people who do horrible things
yeah.
with sexuals. The motive is partly sexual. It's partly
yeah.
power. It's partly conquest. In any event, there is a sexual morality developing. What
yeah.
is the morality that we want to encourage people to be sort of wildly and really expressive sexually, but we have responsibilities to others. We have other values.
Right.
And sexuality is, in fact, much better when we recognize those other values.
Certainly.
But tell us about that story.
I'm a feminist when it comes down to it. Absolutely, 100%. And that's where most of my ideologies are based out of. So I view this new sexual morality being formed. You can see it expressed in trans movement, LGBTQ movement. You can see it expressed in the intersex movement. And then making analogies outside of the sexual minority community, there's also movements for other marginalized communities to just simply resist and become empowered and free and obtain equal rights. Because that's everybody's right, is to express himself freely. And what you just said, there are definitely violent manifestations of freedom, quote unquote. Some people might want to call it chaos or violence or something like that. As far as person-to-person accountability, we all should be empowering and standing in solidarity with each other.
And honest with one
and
another.
Honesty.
Exactly. And communicating with one another. And seeking pleasures for not just ourselves, some
right.
kind of selfish sexuality, but where, in fact, we create a sexuality where we're mutual.
Yes, mutual. We want to create a society that's mutualistic and not exchange-based. We've all been oppressed. Women, minorities, sexual minorities, immigrants, we've all been oppressed by a system which is designed for a bottom line production and profit. We're the farm animals, and we're meant to be producing some sort of profit for somebody somewhere in some way or another, whether you're black, brown, native, woman, man, intersex person, trans, queer. You're meant to be producing something for someone somewhere, and if you're not, then you're useless in society.
Right, and labor.
And labor, exactly.
Obedient labor is very, very important in a society.
Obedient labor
to the elites.
Absolutely.
They want obedience, and they hire high priests to tell people how to be obedient.
Hallelujah.
In every sphere. You know, it sounds like a sort of a crude Marxism, and I will accept the Marxism part. It's not crude at all. Those, in fact, larger factors really do ultimately motivate and shape all of those oppressive cultural forms have developed by the need for obedience and to be farm animals. But people are breaking out of that.
We arrive back to the intersex people. And intersex people biologically are shaped pretty much not to reproduce. It's very rare to find intersex people that can have children naturally, especially because you need extreme like virility and fertility, even in the best cases if you are born on a didactic level. But if you're born with a fully functioning reproductive system, there's even complications that can transpire. So intersex people don't really have capabilities for reproducing the same way that didactic people do. That's where the institutionalized system has a problem with intersex people. We don't conform naturally. We're born nonconformist to this system. And so in order to hide the proof that their system is flawed, they hide intersex people. That's how it's worked historically. In order to hide the proof that black people are oppressed, they put black people in jail and they hide them. In order to hide the proof that native people are being oppressed, they don't cover it and they simply do what they need to do. Same thing with every other minority on the planet. As soon as a rabble gets roused and the foundation gets shaky, they're a house of cards, something is done to oppress. So whether it's stigmatization and oppression through surgery or incarceration or simply just straight up subjugation through genocide, as Native Americans experience, someone's going to try and squeeze profit from you.
That may be changing. It may actually also get worse, but I surely hope not. There are real challenges to it. There's one thing that we haven't covered. What in society, however, is done is outreach to all of those people and enlightening them, like your organization is doing for your set. There are other ways of doing it, like stopping bullying in schools, forcing police to stop their attack. They used to just beat up nonconforming people. Now there are cameras that when they show them, they still are beating up and killing some people. Mm-hmm. There are so many ways, in fact, which we can enforce,
empower
one another,
yeah.
And also at the workplace. And then there are things that have to be done so that particularly white males in this society have a decent role and can get jobs and can live reasonable lives. So many of them, in fact, are also being shut out of the possibility of a dignified life. That's a whole other story that we have to talk about.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we can't talk about all the things, but it seems to me that your organization and many other organizations are moving to unite around these larger goals.
For me, it all comes down to empowerment and unconditional support and love. It comes full circle now. My activism is spiritual on that level. It is 100% meant to uplift and support people that I come in contact with. That's why I wanted to create the Northwest Intersex Action League. I made it sound like a band of superheroes for a reason. I want every single intersex person who finds us to feel like a superhero when they come out of the closet and make contact with another person.
And with other superheroes and cooperating, a cooperative.
Yes, exactly.
And democratic.
Action
every
League
supervisor
unite.
May have different ideas on things. And you can't just use your super strength to batter them in one another. Thanks so much for talking to us today, Carrie Cantrell.
The pleasure is all mine, Bill.
Take it back and hold your
That's Half Jack by the Dresden Dolls with the lyrics, "It's half biology and half corrective surgery gone wrong. You'll notice something funny if you hang around here for too long in some black hole before they had these magic pills to take it back. I'm half Jill and half Jack."